now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. And we need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
From the swank surroundings of the Cocktail Nation penthouse here in Sydney, it's Coop Cooper broadcasting up high with all the lounge and exotica ready to go tonight. This week on the show, we speak to Kalev Savi, a mid-century modern protector and savior who is back on the show talking about the continued existence and security of the Pan Am building. He wants to get it landmark status. More on that soon. We'll talk shoes and a new project that I'm working on that you might like to be partaking in. Just a little bit of fun for the Cocktail Nation listeners. Right now, Ellen Lafern and her version of Girl Talk on the Cocktail Nation.
We like to chat about the dresses we will wear tonight. We chew the fat about our tresses and the neighbors fight. Inconsequential things men don't really care to know become essential things women find so apropos. But that's a dame, we're all the same. It's just a game, we call it Girl Talk. Girl Talk. Of all our friends, the who, the how, the why, we dish the dirt, it never ends. The weaker sex, the speaker sex, you mortal males behold. But though we joke, we wouldn't trade you for a ton of gold. It's all been planned, so take my hand, please understand the sweetest girl talk. Chat about the dresses we will wear tonight. We chew the fat about our dresses and the neighbors fight. Inconsequential things men don't really care to know become essential things women find so apropos. But that's a dame, we're all the same. It's just a game, we call it speaker sex, you mortal males behold. But though we joke, we wouldn't trade you for a ton of gold. It's all been planned, so take my hand, please understand the sweetest girl talk, talks of you.
Thank you.
This is the Cocktail Nation. Thanks to ultraswank.net.
Looking through my eyes, and all the time.
Cocktonation with Coop Cooper, Lounge Leader, Uptown Jazz Quartet and Bossa Nova Eyes. Join me on the show this week, preservationist Kalev Sarvi, who's here to talk about his latest preservation project on the show this week. Hello. Tell me what you've been up to.
You'll remember last time we spoke about a year or so ago was around trying to save the iconic flying saucer-shaped Pan Am terminal at John F. Kennedy Airport in New York City from demolition. Well, unfortunately, that effort failed. The terminal is no more. But we had a huge amount of support come from all around the world. You may recall we were covered in many newspapers and magazines about that effort. So we thought, well, what's the best thing we can do to remember Pan Am? Because the airport authorities promised to build a tribute to Pan Am at the airport, and that hasn't happened. Well, there is one last building left in New York City that Pan Am built, and that is the office tower located on top of Grand Central Terminal, now it's called the MetLife Building, but you know, your older listeners such as myself would remember that it was originally known as the Pan Am Building.
And you see it in signs on movies and things like that. It's certainly in our psyche, isn't it?
Yes, the building is now more than 50 years old, which makes it eligible for landmarking. And it's a building with an interesting story behind it. There were efforts to try to develop that site more than 10 years before the office tower was actually built, and it was only built because Pan Am actually took a heavy interest in the project by leasing 25% of the available floor space. Most people wouldn't even be aware that the project was originally known as Grand Central City Building. The building is instantly recognizable. In fact, I think it was back in 1977, it was voted the building New Yorkers most hate because it blocked the view of Park Avenue up and down.
Yeah.
So why we think this is this project is twofold. It's about getting the building recognized as a national landmark.
Yeah, so it can't disappear.
So yeah, there's no danger of it disappearing. It's really interesting that everything in and around it has been designated a landmark. There's the Helmsley Building, which sits on the northern end of the building, which is a national landmark. Grand Central Terminal, which has been preserved and made a landmark. But the Pan Am Building itself, now known as MetLife, never has been made landmark status, and we believe it's because of this, the tarnished past. It was voted, you know, the most hated office tower in New York City, and also there was a tragic helicopter crash, toppled over on the roof with some of the blades, you know, hurtling towards the ground, killing four or five people. So our project is to landmark it, but more importantly, to rename it the Pan Am Building as a proper tribute to Pan Am.
Now, I know you've been working very hard on this already, and you've already you've got a lawyer involved and all this sort of thing. I imagine this is a big project, and I would also imagine you've probably learned a lot from the other things that you've been working on preserving.
Well, exactly. It's you know, I'd like to say that we learned so much from the previous project that we've learned from our mistakes.
Yeah.
And we're going to try to run this project a bit differently. You know, first and foremost, the issue with the previous project with that terminal at JFK was that we knew we had a time limit. There was only a certain amount of time we knew was available to us to save it because it was slated for demolition. Well, 200 Park Avenue in New York City is going nowhere. You know, believe me, it's a gem in terms of corporate office space. So time is on our side. So this time around, we're really looking for sponsors, you know, who believe that our mission is correct,
yeah.
And also to work with preservation organizations to make this happen. So, for example, my recent trip to New York, I met with an organization called Docomomo. That organization is a leading preservation movement. They're actually a worldwide organization. There are chapters worldwide. I believe there's one here in Australia as well. But their main role in life is to preserve and remember modern architecture. And when we say modern architecture, we mean mid-20th century architecture. So this building falls right into that. After I met with Docomomo, they were so excited about this idea, and they felt that the preservation community let us down on the Worldport terminal, that they think they owe it to us to really run with this as a project of their own.
Right.
So I'll be working with them, you know, in an advisory capacity, but that takes the heavy lifting away from me because, you know, we have now a worldwide organization that's going to, you know, take this this matter up.
Yeah. Look, protecting these, you know, these buildings is so very, very important. And thank you to you for being involved in this. You know, most of the people who are in a mid-century modern are really concerned about this because, I mean, we've lost so much of our history through the, you know, through the 70s and 80s, so much it was carved up. There's just a few things left that we've really got to really place a lot of importance on them. If people want to follow what's going on with you, you could be setting up a page or anything like that?
We'll be setting up a you know, a social media campaign. One of the reasons we were so successful with our last project with the terminal at JFK was the interest exhibited by people of all ages from around the world through social media tools like Twitter and Facebook. We believe that the way really to promote this campaign is through social media. So we will be setting up a you know, a new Facebook and Twitter account for this effort.
All right. Look, we'll keep in touch and find out what's going on in the future. But a great thing, and I'm glad you've kicked that off. So good to talk to you, Cliff.
Thanks, Coop.
The Cocktail Nation.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Song, let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true.
Hello, baby.
The Cocktail Nation.
This can't be love because I feel so well. No sobs, no sorrows, no sighs. This can't be love. I get no dizzy spell. My head is not in the sky. My heart does not stand still. Just hear it beat. This is too sweet to be love. This can't be love because I feel so well. But still I love to look in your eyes. Does not stand still, just hear it beat. This is too sweet to be love. This can't be love because I feel so well, but still I love to look in your eyes. I love to look in your eyes.
The Cocktail Nation with Coop Cooper, the man who has been rejected from numerous Islamic countries for being too good looking.
Thank you.
Coctonation with James Spencer. It's so good to want you bad. It's all thanks to ultraswank.net. And this week, some swank advice, a column that you might like to check out on my website. We've got plenty of them there. Soon to be made into a book, in fact. I'm planning on putting them all together in one place. Now, a lot of men don't pay much attention to their shoes. So we're going to be talking about that important thing that a man needs whenever he leaves the house. I'm here to tell you that they reveal a lot about a guy. Whether or not he takes pride in the little things. If he throws on a nice suit and pairs it with cheap, clunky lace-ups, he's not exactly what you call a details guy. And if he leaves his pricey wingtip scuffed and unpolished, then these are clear signs that his personal life is probably a complete shambles. There are numerous styles of shoes out there. But what's great about being a man is that you can do perfectly well by just sticking with three pairs of shoes, pretty much. You don't need to have some sort of Carrie Bradshaw obsession with the latest and coolest shoes. If you invest in a handful of sensible and stylish pairs of shoes and take care of them, you'll be set for years. You just need to take that first step. When I was growing up, my two male role models, my father and grandfather, were obsessive about their shoes. My father would polish his shoes every morning for about 10 minutes. His shoes always placed carefully in a rack in his closet, not just thrown into the corner. My grandfather was pretty much the same. He'd open up his closet and you could smell the leather and the shoe polish. Neither man would throw out a pair of shoes until they were completely worn out. Very often, the shoes would then be taken to the cobbler and come back refurbished and repaired. I've carried on this knowledge with me into adulthood, and there are a few things I'd like to share with you about the all-important shoe. Number one, a man only needs a few pairs of shoes. I choose to have three pairs of black shoes, one pair for everyday wear, another for dressing up and going out, and the third pair is a patent leather pair of shoes to be worn with a tuxedo. I also have one pair of brown shoes for casual wear with lightly coloured trousers or perhaps Aloha shirts. Number two, regularly polish your shoes. You'll make them look great and you'll preserve your expensive shoes. I love the ritual. You know, the careful laying out of the newspaper, the round tin of kiwi polish and the built-in wing nut-shaped turnkey opener. A near perfect piece of industrial design. And after enough applications, the old t-shirt that will become a work of art in its own right. Number three, here's a few things that you'll need for your shoes. Number one, a tin of black polish. Number two, an old t-shirt or towel. And don't skimp on the brush either. Number four, kill a tree and save your shoes. If you want your shoes to last, you'll need shoe trees. One's made from cedar, and they'll preserve the shape of your shoes and prevent them from developing those deep creases. They'll also help absorb moisture and make them smell better. They really are a no-brainer. You can check out this swank advice column and lots more. I'd love you to share it around the internet if you could as well, simply by heading over to my website, coctonation.net. Here's the Martini Kings now and Killer Joe on the Coctonation. Thank you.
This is Tommy Tremolo from Spy 5.
Hey, everybody, this is Marty Lush, and when I'm drinking, which is often, I'm listening to Cocktail Nation.
Nation with Tiki Lounge Crew and Martini Nova. You can follow us on Twitter by heading over to the Twitter handle Cocktail Nation. It's that simple. Here's Bobby Darin, Days of Wine and Roses on the Cocktail Nation.
child at play through the meadowland toward a closing door, a door marked nevermore that wasn't there before. The lonely night discloses just a passing breeze filled with memories of the golden smile that introduced me to
with Coop Cooper, Bobby Darin, Days of Wine and Roses. I've decided to do a little fun thing. I'm trying to do more video type things with the Coctonation, so I thought, you know, I don't get a lot of time to talk about me, about things that I'm interested in, hobbies and all that sort of stuff, and I thought to myself, well, why not have a little segment, a little video segment called Ask Coop? So I'll put this up on the website with the links and whatnot that you need. But I thought, you know, if there's something you want to ask me, maybe it's some advice, well, why not? Just email through your question and I'll do a little video segment in the coming weeks. We'll produce that up, have a bit of fun. It's something that I wouldn't probably normally put on the show because I'd like to play a little bit more music rather than just chatting all the time. But this will be a bit of an extended chat live from the penthouse. So get to it. Email the question to thecoctonation@gmail.com. And no, I'm not going to tell you how much money I earn, so don't bother asking me about that. But anyway, it should be a bit of fun. We'll get on to that in the coming weeks. Here's Audrey Morrison. Guess who I saw today on the Coctonation?
You're so late getting home from the office. Did you miss your train? Were you caught in the rain? No, don't bother to explain. Can I fix you a quick martini? As a matter of fact, I'll have one with you. For to tell you the truth, I've had quite a day too. Guess who I saw today, my dear? I went in town to shop around for something new, and thought I'd stop and have a bite when I was through. I looked around for some place near, and it occurred to me where I had parked the car. I'd seen a most attractive French cafe and bar. It really wasn't very far. The waiter showed me to a dark, secluded corner, and when my eyes became accustomed to the gloom, I saw two people at the bar who were so much in love that even I could spot it clear across the room. Guess who I saw today, my dear? I've never been so shocked before. I headed blindly for the door. They didn't see me passing through. Guess who I saw today? I saw you.
Central Sydney, a man, a microphone, a dimly lit apartment, and a smoking jacket. The Cocktail Nation.
Nation. Thanks to UltraSwank.net and Charlie Hayden Quartet and Angel Face. Up on the Cocktail Nation website, I've got a great little story about bringing back the dictaphone. And it talks about Don Draper, Mad Men Season 5, how he spends a fair bit of time on the dictaphone and how there's simply nothing like that anymore. Last week on the show, we were talking about the demise of certain jobs. I was talking about how the secretaries disappeared. And with the secretaries disappearing, I suppose that kind of was a bit of a killer for the dictaphone. But an interesting article, well worth checking out. Let's take a look at the world of swank now, thanks to pastimealbumclocks.com. Forbidden Island Alameda have got their movie nights every Tuesday night from 5 to 7. Jack Crosley's Lost World at Otto's Shrunken Head, New York City. Tiki Caliente coming up May 14 in Palm Springs, California. March 7, it's the International Tiki Marketplace at Don the Beachcomber in Huntington Beach. And back in June, Oana Luau at the Lake for 2015, June 25. Here's the website, luauatthelake.com. For these gigs and lots more, check out my website, cocktailnation.net, over on the World of Swank Gig Guide. And if you'd like to put in an event, we'd love to hear from you. Here's Bob Thompson now on Playboy.
Cocktail Nation.
Thank you.
60 next week on the show. Some classic comedy coming your way. Gonna leave you now with Calvin Keyes. Can't Get Started. Stay hip.
Mm-hmm.